Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. You had to think about who you was with today, didn't you?
No, not at all. I was just trying to be, you know, just trying
okay.
to add some, you know.
Right. I understand. Well, I'm here with you.
And we're going to bring the listeners our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, February 12th, 2021. So, happy Valentine's Day, Butch.
Oh, thank you. You too. Is it today? What is Valentine's Day?
Well, it's Sunday.
Okay. Well, I've already got Marcia something, so I'm done.
Well, say happy Valentine's Day to Marcia for me also.
I will do that.
Yes.
I will do that.
Did you get her flowers?
I actually got her some candy and a stuffed animal and a balloon.
What?
So she seemed happy.
Aww.
You know, this is our
50th. It doesn't take much to make us happy, you know.
Well, no, I guess not. But what can I say? But this is our 50th Valentine's Day together, so I guess it's kind of important.
Yes. Aww.
50 of them.
When's your anniversary, 50th anniversary?
November 20th. It'll be our 50th, but so it'll be 50. We're already, no, this is the 49th. I lost count. November 20th, I think, is 50 years together. So this will be our 49th. This is our 49th Valentine's Day together.
Okay.
49 Valentine days.
It's close enough.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, a half a century is long. I mean, if you forget a day or two, it's all right, right?
Yeah.
A half a century, Melody, being married. A half a century.
Wow.
Think about that.
I know.
See, when I got married, I had dark brown hair. It wasn't gray. And I had more of it. You know, what can I say? I could hear better. Well, getting married would just wore me out. But I better move on from that.
Oh, yeah. It's not the half a century that wore you out.
No.
It wasn't that. It wasn't the years or the days. No. I mean, it didn't me. Gracious. I'm 39.
I know. So. Forever young.
Forever.
Forever
anyway,
young.
Anyway. Gold today, forever young, was down $4.10 at $1,821. Silver was down up. I'm sorry, silver was up 29 cents, $2,734. Platinum was up $18 at $1,254. Palladium was up $40 at $2,464. USDX today is up 0.05 at 90.47. Excuse me. Crude oil is up $1.35 at $59.59. And the paper markets today, the Dow, it's five after. These should be good. Was up 27 points at 31,458. NASDAQ was up 69 at 14,095. The S&P was up 18 at 3,934. 10-year yield, 1.20%. Wow. 1.20%, up 0.04. Yeah, that's about it. You know, Bitcoin is back up to almost 48 again. I guess it hit 50 overnight and so forth, but it is what it is, Butch.
That's very true. So a digital computer is worth more than the dollar now, I guess you put it that way.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But, of course, it can't go away. Now, you understand, that's a secure thing to invest in is a digital computer. Nothing could happen to that.
Nope. But we're also going to talk about that Miami mayor.
Yeah, we are. We'll get there in a little bit.
Yeah.
Get there in a little bit. So, what else you want to share before... Go ahead.
You know, not really. It was kind of a Friday, quiet week. You know, the stocks sort of just fluctuated throughout the day with the stronger dollar. Some of the world markets dipped a little bit. And, you know, again, as I mentioned, you had the Bitcoin, you know, hit a high. Consumer sentiment unexpectedly fell to a six-month low. You know, no surprise there. Declined to a six-month low in early February. The University of Michigan's preliminary sentiment index fell to 76.2 from 79. Consumers expect a year ahead inflation rate of 3.3%, That's the highest since July of 2014. So, you know, with the, you know, what we talk about, the elevated unemployment, the limited social activity, you know, just, you know, everything that's going on out there with households, with incomes, in the bottom third reported significant setbacks. You know, everyone is anticipating the new round of stimulus, is hoping to, you know, reduce some of those hardships out there. So, it's, meantime, 5-year inflation expectations held at 3.7% this month, and that's up from February of 2020. So, you know, it's, I mean, these are not new reports and stats, and, you know, they're still pressing for the $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. So there's, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I think this one was kind of interesting, though. Russia said on Friday it would be ready to sever its ties with the European Union if the bloc hit it with painful economic sanctions. And ties between Russia and the West, already at post-Cold War lows, have come under renewed pressure over the arrest and jailing of that critic, Navalny. And so, again, it's just, I don't know if they will. They sell him a lot of oil, so I'm not quite sure, you know. But, again, just a little more interesting little tidbits that I think we need to, you know, just pay attention to.
And, I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the figures on inflation. It's way more than 3%.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that is one of the biggest lies out there. I mean, the price of food and gas alone has topped that off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's what they'll blame it on. That's what they'll blame it all on the oil prices rising. And like there isn't anything else out there. But and people have to realize all the byproduct of oil, all the products.
Yes.
I mean, aspirin has oil in it.
Yep.
Jello.
All the plastics.
All the plastics.
Yes.
You know, so all of these, you know, when they talk about global warming and fossil fuels, they can't get rid of fossil fuels. It's impossible. And so anyway, so that's about all it in a nutshell. There was one other report that came out today. I mean, we've been kind of talking about it for the past couple of days, and that is about the federal budget deficit is projected to be $2.3 trillion.
Yeah. Yep.
$2.3 trillion for this year. Although it's smaller than the 2020 shortfall of $3.13 trillion, but the stimulus isn't passed yet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's very true. Yes.
And the federal debt is going to swell to $35.3 trillion in 2031. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hit $35 trillion, I'd say, probably by the end of next year.
So. And, Millie, that's not counting all the derivatives and other things. They don't add that up in there.
No, they don't.
I mean, if they did, it'd be up in the hundreds of trillions. I mean, they don't add that in there. They're really, just like with the inflation, they play games with it.
Yeah.
And we believe them. They say unemployment's now only 6%. If you believe that, then I got a farm on say in Texas. I mean, because the people that are no longer getting benefits don't count as unemployed any longer. So that's
true.
Folks, please understand, we're being deceived. Deceived, deceived, deceived. Don't believe ABC, CNN, any of the rest of them. Don't believe that. Search it up for yourself. Takes a little effort. It does. But it's well worth it. If you want to know the truth, look it up for yourself. Don't even take Melody and I's word for it. We would never lie to you, but we could be wrong. Well, Melody, not wrong. Me, probably. But anyway, take time. Take time
you.
To look it up for yourself. Take time to look it up for yourself.
Now I know why you're married for 50 years.
I've learned a few things, but seriously, look it up for yourselves and confirm it to yourself. That way, you'll know that. you can trust a source. I know you can trust Milton, and I do my best to be trustworthy also. But check us out. And if we're incorrect, then show us and correct us. We don't want to say anything that's incorrect. Go ahead, Melody.
That's true. But these numbers are just staggering, and the stimulus hasn't even been passed yet. And this is just the first stimulus of the $1.9 trillion. I don't know how much of the infrastructure spending, but I think the infrastructure spending is another bill. So, and then you just think about the loss of revenue, and you think about, oh, let's forgive up to $50,000 of student loans, and it's amazing. It truly is amazing.
It really is
amazing.
Then,
and let's cut jobs. Yes. Good. Good show.
And when you stop and think about this, this is why the numbers are so, we just kind of shrug them off. How do you understand $35 trillion?
You can't.
You know, there's no way to do that. There's no way. So we look at it and think, well, that's $35 trillion. Don't mean a thing to me because it's too big. And that's why people going down the road thinking, well, the next stimulus should be good for us and go from there. I mean, what's trillions of dollars? What's the next number above a trillion? You know, I don't even know where to go from there. So what's a trillion?
I like some of these. $1 trillion seconds. Okay, if we had $1 trillion mm-hmm. dollars, we'll do it in seconds. I love these little things. $1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So if you had $1 trillion seconds, so convert that to dollars. 1 trillion pennies stacked on top of each other would make a tower about 870,000 miles high.
870,000 miles.
Uh-huh. High. The same distance obtained by going to the moon, back to Earth, and then to the moon again. If you had pennies, 1 trillion pennies. 1 trillion ants. These are little itty-bitty ants. You know, those little bitty ants would weigh over 3,000 tons.
Gee whiz.
Can you believe that?
I'd like to have a copy of that. That'd be good to put in a magazine, a news magazine.
Yeah, 1 trillion ants would weigh over 3,000 tons. That's unbelievable.
That's inconceivable.
$1 trillion divided evenly among the U.S. population would mean that everyone in the United States would receive a little over $3,000.
Wow.
That's what they're working up to.
That is unbelievable. Send it to me. I love to put that in a magazine. I mean, the ants especially. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Gee. Well, that, but we
what
only
I want to know is
yeah.
who counted them?
Somebody had 32,000 years to live, I guess. But anyway,
yeah, somebody has too much time on their hands.
Exactly.
Anyway. So, what do you have today?
Well, I do want to show you this because this is economic. U.S. cold blast is so extreme, gas pipes are starting to seize up. Now, folks, this is for real, and it's coming this week. There's no respite this weekend for much U.S., with temperatures likely to hit new lows. Arctic cold is already gripping much of the interior, freezing natural gas pipelines and threatening snow as far south as Houston. I heard D.V. Kidd talk on a talk show here last night sometime. It was really cold down in Texas. I think she said like 19 degrees where she lives. So that's pretty cold. Nearly 300 new daily temperature records could be set mainly across the Great Plains from Canada to Texas. Canada to Texas, folks, through Tuesday, said Mark Chenard, a senior branch forecaster at the U.S. Weather Prediction Center. The frigid air is heating up gas and electric markets as U.S. residents turn up thermostats to stay warm. One of the main stories is the very cold temperatures and expanse of the cold. Chenard said most of the country will be at least at or below average except Florida. Let's go to Florida, Melly, for the weekend. But anyway. Further, a series of winter storms will ride along the leading edge of the cold from the Pacific Northwest to the East Coast. That could bring 6 to 12 inches of snow. across western Washington and Oregon, including Seattle, while ice and sleet could touch Houston before coming up the East Coast early next week. We know about the huge wreck in Texas. I think 9 people killed. I don't think 100 cars are involved in it because of icy roads. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which oversees the state's main power grid, warned of record power demand due to extreme temperatures. The average spot price for electricity in North Texas climbed 738%, $289.40 a megawatt hour, Thursday at 2 p.m. local time. After much of the region spiked briefly to about $1,900 earlier, according to data compiled by Genscape Incorporated. Prices of gas, propane, heating oil, fuels used to heat homes are also surging, and not just because of elevated demand. Temperatures are so low to trigger so-called freeze-offs when wells shut down because of liquids freezing inside the pipelines. Texas facilities are operated by pipeline companies, DCP, Midstream, LP, and Targa Resources Corporation were reported shut on Thursday due to the cold. The impact on regional gas prices has been dramatic. The rate for the next day delivery at the Warnock Hub, which hauls Oklahoma gas to networks serving the Midwest, rose sixfold Thursday. Sixfold. Gas for next day delivery to Houston and Chicago climbed to the highest in 7 years. So the cold's making a difference in our wallets, is it not?
It really does. And, you know, it's... Although I'm not getting any of that cold, we're in the 30s and 40s, but it really can hit people's pockets.
Yes, it can.
Yeah, it can.
If you heat with natural gas or propane or even electricity, your bill's going to go up because you got to turn the thermostat to keep the house warmer.
Yeah.
Keep it warm all the time.
But you know, with those, you know what? I don't know what's going on with those gas lines and so forth. They shouldn't be doing that from the cold, though.
Well, they have that. Most of them have liquid in them. Just by condensation, they have liquid in them sometimes, and that will freeze. That does happen.
That does happen. But wouldn't you think they have pipes that, you know, I mean?
Well, you would think so, but I don't know. But they can freeze. Mm. It's amazing.
Or is it just trying to save a dollar when they do this? And
well, you never know. That could be. Mm. Very well could be. It's just, but it is happening. And then this is going to be 300, maybe record lows over this week, coming weekend. That's a lot of record cold. Global warming hasn't caught on in a lot of places yet.
I know. So, did you see that terrible 100 car pileup?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, 9 people killed in Texas on the ice on the roads. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
We're heading to the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. And again, premiums on everything is high. Delays up to a month. We have Silver Eagles. We can lock them in for you. Just, you know, we can't get calls every week to see if they're in. So we don't mind doing it for you. I go to AtMex and I compare my prices on like 200 Silver Eagles. They're looking for $41 plus. Ours are less than 39. So, I mean, and I get it because, you know, they're probably trying to also slow down the number of people for buying. You know, they don't want the just the 20, you know, 20 coins. So they probably raise them, but even their big orders, they're still at $40 for, you know, boxes of 500 and stuff. So, the mint, and that's what it comes down to. The U.S. Mint just threw this wrench into the game. And so we just have to wait until they fill up their shelves once again. And I know they're coming out with a new – this is one of my theories. They're coming out with a new series this year of Silver Eagles. And I think – I don't think it's for investment. I think it's just for their little website and so forth. They'll probably produce so many and that's it and whatnot. And I'm wondering if they're not changing over the equipment and so forth in order to do that, to focus on that, because they have deadlines and stuff. I don't know. But it certainly has been odd, because 2 weeks ago I was only charging $4.75 over spot for Silver Eagles, and they were readily available. And overnight, premiums go for 10 plus with a month delay. So, but it is true. My buyer, I talked to him yesterday. This is just one of them. He says, you know, I was expecting one of my deliveries today to get 50,000 ounces of Silver Eagles. He says they sent me 10. So, you know, that is the issue that is happening. So there's other products out there for you to buy. I have some 90% silver available, and you're paying less than half of what you would, you know, in premium for the Silver Eagles, so that's a good buy. There's other gold coin products available that you can purchase where the premium isn't as much, and you get fairly quick delivery, so this is what you have to do in these times. The whole point is eliminating those fiat dollars and putting into something real. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes, and I'll say this, and I know your listeners already know this. This isn't for your listeners necessarily, but we were working here in the office today, and Crystal had been works for in the office with us for years now. Showed me something on her phone. They had a 50-cent piece, 1962 50-cent piece being bid on now online. You want that half dollar, Brock? Think about this, folks. $40. Somebody spent $40 for a half ounce of 90% silver, and probably thought they got to buy. Please,
well, it's
folks.
It's not even a half ounce. It's not even a half ounce.
Well, it isn't quite a half ounce. No, it isn't.
No.
Folks, please research. I don't care if you've been buying them for years. Check with Melody before you do anything. I mean, really, $40 for a 50-cent piece. And I mean, it's on auction. I know auction get carried away sometimes. They get spending more than they should. But $40 would have bought him a brand new Silver Eagle. Now just think about that difference. And Silver Eagle is 99.9% silver. An ounce of silver. So let's move on. One-third of small businesses in U.S. fear they won't survive 2021. That is really sad. 88% reported sales have not yet returned to pre-pandemic levels. 3 in 10 small businesses, or 9 million out of the estimated 30 million in the United States, fear they won't survive in the coming year without additional government assistance, according to a survey recently published by the Federal Reserve. My goodness, one-third, and I would have thought there's more than 30 million small businesses in the United States, but maybe not. But one-third, 9 million of them, just want to say 10 million of them, are not going to make it maybe through this year. The pandemic has destroyed their business. And I would say that's probably true, Milton. I know in our local area, I can name at least 3 stores, big stores, chains, that went out of business totally. I mean, they sold all the stores. So in this area here, and that's a big hit for our little town here around here. But so one-third of them may not make it through next year unless they have more stimulus, of course, which caused more inflation and caused more problems for the businesses later on. But that's what we're seeing right now. Any comments on that one?
No, and that's why we haven't seen anything yet on the damage that these shutdowns are doing. They might be able to get us through by sending money to people, to businesses, to get us through this. But really, what's on the other side? How can we get to the other side when you have that many businesses ready to fail? And forget about and we're not even counting the ones that already have. There will be an impact. They extended the moratorium on the housing to, I think, the end of March. And in this last stimulus, they have rental income in there. They have utility income in there. So how far can the government go? And I get that people are hurting and that the money coming from the government has been it has saved many. But
that is so sad. I mean, we're talking about people work for years trying to build a business.
Yes.
You know?
But there's a consequence for this. And we just don't know what it is yet. So, but this is what's coming. Maybe not in 2021. Who knows? Could be. But
yes, it could. Yes, it could.
So yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible.
How hard is that to live with that hanging over your head? Because you can't do what you want to do.
I mean, how would you even sleep at nights? If you had a family to feed and everything. I know people say, well, you trust in God. I understand it. Believe me, I do understand that. But you're still in your mind. Still in your mind. It is.
And well, you have to trust. You have to trust.
Yeah,
but you also
exactly.
Just can't sit back and do nothing either.
That's very true. That's very true. And this article from Jonathan Pacinio, this is from the Forbes staff. He says, the stock market about to crash. And you and I both know it's going to happen. But he put together a brief statement here that I thought was very interesting. Very, very concerning. Echoes of the 90s dot-com bubble are being heard loud and clear by nervous market experts. 12-year-old bull market, SPAC mania, IPOs that more than double on the first trading day, an army of amateur traders, and GameStop mania. It certainly feels like an irrational exuberance, and it triggers alarms for those who remember the dot-com bubble, the late 1990s. The parallels we have today are historically very, very concerning, notes Jim Stack, president of Whitefish, Montana's Ives Tech Research and Stack Financial Management. The current froth is the icing on the cake, and when you look through it, you see a lot of other underlying issues. And I think this is very true. The enthusiasm in the market has really jacked it up. You know that. And it's going to take a great hit. And it's going to happen maybe like in the 90s, but I think this one will be far worse. And I think you do too. This will be worse than the 90s. Well, what's your opinion on that?
I'm sorry, you caught me off guard there. I had to
tackle
there.
I just... And folks, you see what I mean? I mean, woman pretty pays attention to me. I mean, really. But this gentleman is comparing the dot com bubble burst back in the 90s with what he's seen today in the markets. Improvements in investing in things like GameStop mania and amateur traders all getting involved in He's seen the same thing happen. It happened in the 90s. But they said it's going to be like the dot-com bubble. But this, I do believe, when it happens again, will be far worse than the dot-com bubble. What do you think about that? I mean, the market's now, what, 31, 32,000? I mean, it's mostly air. So what's going to happen when it does collapse again?
I mean, you know, it should. I personally, what I believe, you got a little bit of inflation pushing it up. I mean, and then I got to go back to Venezuela. Yeah, they were hitting record stock highs, you know, when their country mm-hmm. was basically falling apart. So where do you want to be? You want to, you know, it didn't matter what the stock market price was. It didn't matter. Because look what happened to their country. People were eating their animals. People couldn't eat. They couldn't buy anything. They couldn't sell their stocks. Nobody wanted them. It was just paper. Had a high number on it, but it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And that's what that's.
And so did, you know, so did the currency.
So did
currency
the currency
have high numbers on.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, we are going to have the, you know, the same thing. We are a little bit different because we've got the Federal Reserve and we've got the dollar reserve. We've got 80, 85% of the world transactions doing it in the U.S. dollar. If it wasn't for that, yeah, we'd be history.
Absolutely.
You know, and they had Forbes did analyze 11 key market metrics, and they're all flashing these warning signs, and they flashed before the market crashed in March of 2000. And these same warning signs are flashing now. So, yeah, but you know what? We all have short memories, especially if your portfolios came back. That's the conditioning that they do. So everybody that has paper. And one thing I've seen, it's interesting. It's unusual. I see people pulling out of their gold IRAs and going into something else. And to me, that's another pure sign of that we're at the end of the they want to get in on the paper. We're in that we don't want to miss out mindset. We don't want to miss out. And unfortunately, they already have. By going into the papers at this point in time, they've lost out because we're at the end of the road. So they'll push it up a little bit more, and then they'll end up losing everything. So what they had in their gold and silver IRAs that they're turning into paper, they're going to lose. Maybe not all of it.
Eventually, yep. It's going to happen.
And they'll lose against inflation, the whole reason. But it was interesting. I just saw more this week than I think I've ever have. So that's, you know, hey, I'm here to do your bidding. If you want to sell your gold out of your precious metals IRA, I can't, you know, do it. And I'm thank you for allowing me to process it. But never trade your gold for paper.
Good, very well put. And this next article, I think it's very interesting. I really do. The patient considering the source of it, and the jump that the person was writing about. The title is Great Reset. Putin, folks, says not so fast. The writer said, "Did you happen to catch the most important political speech of the last 6 years? It would have been easy to miss given everything going on. In fact, almost did. And this speech sits at the intersection of nearly all my areas of intense study. The annual World Economic Forum took place last week via teleconference, what I'm calling virtual Davos. And at this year's event, of course, the signature topic was their project called the Great Reset. But if the WEF was so intent on presenting the best face for the Great Reset to the world, it wouldn't have invited either Chinese Premier Xi Jinping or, more importantly, Russian President Vladimir Putin. And it was Putin's speech that brought down the House of Cards that is the agenda of the WEF. Putin hadn't spoken there for nearly a decade. In a time when WEF controlled puppets dominant positions of power in Europe, the UK, Canada, and now the U.S., Putin walked into a virtual Davos and dumped his coffee on the carpet. In terms I can only describe as unfailingly polite, Putin told Klaus Schwab, the WEF, that their entire idea of the Great Reset is not only doomed to failure, but runs counter to everything modern leadership should be pursuing. Putin literally laughed at the idea of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Schwab's idea of a planned society through AI, robots, and merging of man and machine. Let me repeat that, folks. Schwab's idea of a planned society through AI, artificial intelligence, robots, and the merging of man and machine, transhumanism. Putin said he flat out told them their policies driving the middle class to the brink of extinction over the COVID-19 pandemic will further increase social and political unrest while also ensuring wealth inequality gets worse. Pretty powerful speech coming to Putin, wouldn't you say, Melody?
Sounds that way, yes.
I mean, laughed in her face, literally laughed in the face of Schwab. Laughed at him. And I thought that, my goodness, I mean, he makes our leaders look like pudding. I mean, that is a phenomenal speech, actually. And I come from Russia, folks. Putin, of all people, be laughed in the face of Charles Schwab, which is a fairly dominant figure in society and in economic circles, for sure. But he laughed at him. And he said, you're going to ruin the middle class. And he's right. It's already started.
Well, the middle class is already ruined.
Middle class what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The middle class is already ruined.
It is. And the middle class being people that probably had a lot of small businesses or decent paying jobs.
Yeah.
It's ruined. You're right. And Bloomberg News says lays off staffers, including longtime editors. May not get finished before the break, but Bloomberg News on Thursday began notifying a group of employees they were being terminated. According to three people familiar with the matter, the latest is an ongoing string of layoffs at media companies as they grapple with the economics of the digital age. Some staffers were given the sense that the company hoped to enact a restructuring among a group of veteran editors. According to one of these people, who noted that some employees affected had been with Bloomberg for decades. Now, Melody, that is sad. I mean, decades of work and you're gone.
Well, you know what? If Bloomberg would quit spending billions of dollars to influence elections, maybe he'd have money to pay his employees.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So, I mean, but working with somebody for decades and planning on maybe coming out of there with a little bit of retirement, and it's going. That'd be heartbreaking. You know, but it's happening. And Bloomberg, obviously.
Well, that's what it's all about, you know, preparing and planning, because things life happens.
Yep, it does. It certainly does.
And breaks happen. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And we're back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And we're in the last segment of the program for Friday, February 12th. What's next? Butch?
I'm right here. This article, I thought, and this is, I don't quite understand how this could happen, but Florida consumers flabbergasted as property insurers push for double-digit rate hikes. Why would they do that? But anyway, Florida property insurers are jacking up rates by double-digit percentages, blaming the hikes on lingering damage from past hurricanes, a wave of litigation, and a law that encourages lawyers to sue by allowing courts to award them big fees. So they want to do a double-digit increase because of past hurricanes and a wave of litigation, okay? The rate increases in Florida, the third-largest property insurance market among the U.S. states, are the highest in memory, according to some insurance agents and residents. One danger, they say, is that the new rates can make owning a home in Florida unaffordable. I was flabbergasted, said Carlos Horn, a 35-year-old law student who owns a four-bedroom single-family home in Hendry County, Florida. He said his premium doubled to $200 per month last August. So I don't know. We know the hurricanes are devastating the insurance companies, obviously. Maybe that's how they're going to survive, Melody. So this is one thing, we made this point many times. Businesses can't lose money, and they can't be in business. They go back to the consumer and raise price on the consumer to keep the head above water. That's what businesses have to do, folks. Whether it's insurance business or even a restaurant business, if they can't eat the loss forever, they got to raise prices to cover the cost or they don't have a business. So this, again, is another case of businesses. Maybe they did have a lot of loss with these hurricanes, litigation, and they had to raise prices to start making money again. Your opinion, Miss Melody?
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's, and again, it all comes back to, you know, planning and preparing. I mean, people need to plan for, I mean, it's one thing to plan for, I know Florida was hit so many times, and you can plan for one devastation. It's kind of hard to plan for two or three. And
they've been hammered lately, too, and so is Louisiana all through there.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just another sign of the times, Butch.
It is. And do we think that them doubling a minimum wage to $15 an hour is not going to cause prices to go up at businesses?
No.
I mean, are we that naive to think that it's not going to cost the employees more in the long run because they would be cut hours and maybe no job at all and the consumer's money to cover it? Why can't we see these common sense things as a people? You cannot force businesses to pay higher wages. If they can't afford it, they'll go out of business or they'll raise their prices. Either way, people lose.
They do, and it's politics. It's just politics.
Yes, it is.
Everything is politics. It's all about getting the vote. It makes them good. It makes them feel good. It's people think that they're there fighting for them. It's the same thing for the blacks. The blacks are used for a vote.
They'll sell the country out for a vote. I mean, they'll sell out the country for a vote. Yes, and they do.
What, the report, 1.4 million jobs are going to be lost with the increase of the $15 minimum wage increase?
And then not count the ones going to get less hours.
There was an interview on a restaurant owner, I think he was in California. He says, my help, my waitresses, they make $20-$30 an hour plus tips. I don't know if that was including their tips or what. And he says, if I'm forced to pay them $15, they're going to lose. They're not going to make nearly as much. And people just can't see that. It hurts more than it helps.
It does. It does.
And
it does.
I mean, so the problem is, let's see what the problem is. Problem is people aren't making enough money. So why? Why are they not making enough money? Why isn't this all trickling down? Why are these multinational corporations aren't paying anything? You know, those are the problems. Why aren't there jobs in this? Why isn't there a competitive nature in employment to where wages would rise significantly, not this 0.1 or 0.001, and everybody cheers? You know? Why can't people pay? Why can't people live on the wages that we're getting paid? It's called inflation. The dollar is getting less. It takes more of those little babies to buy things. So all the tax cuts, all the stimulus, it all benefits the larger multinational corporations, and they certainly aren't going to trickle it down to you.
Very true.
What's the answer, Butch? I don't know.
Well, one answer would be letting us have free enterprise again, getting government out of private lives and private businesses, and let us run our businesses the way we see fit, and actually have a free enterprise system that where production would have a lot to do with, and producing goods would have a lot to do with what the price of the goods are. The free enterprise system obviously works. I mean, if you have overabundance of goods, the price comes down, and vice versa, the price will go up. But it works. When the prices go up, they have more incentive to make more product. And that would even bring maybe some jobs back to the United States from overseas. I don't know, but that's called free enterprise. And you're not guaranteed you're going to make it. You're not guaranteed that there can't be any guarantee that you're going to make it. You go into business, you go to get a job, work as hard as you can to make everything work. But in a free enterprise system, no one guarantees you a safety net. It doesn't work that way.
And the thing is,
so
now we have global competition. Yeah, and we have global competition. They didn't protect us against that. We gave it all away. We exported our inflation so we could bring the trinkets back in here to buy. So how do we stop that? I think you can stop it with quotas.
I don't know how you're going to stop now. It's such a huge, huge mess. I don't know if we can turn around. I really don't know.
I agree.
I don't know if we can. But negative rates are coming. Now, folks, listen to this. Negative rates are coming to the UK and the US. Protect your savings. How do you protect your savings? You call Mel DeCesium, ask her to help to protect your savings. Now, listen to this. Negative rates. Get your money out of the bank, folks. It's going to cost you to keep it there. Negative rates are the destruction of money. I like that. Negative rates are the destruction of money. An economic aberration based on the mistakes of many central banks and some of their economists who start from a wrong diagnosis. The idea that economic agents do not take more credit or invest more because they choose to save too much and therefore saving must be penalized to stimulate the economy. Excuse the bluntness, but it is a ludicrous idea. Inflation and growth are now due to excess savings, but because of excess debt perpetuating overcapacity with low rates and high liquidity and zombifying the economy by subsidizing their low productivity and highly indebted sectors and penalizing high productivity with rising and confiscatory taxation. So all they're doing is undermining the whole thing. They're destroying themselves with all this nonsense. They're going to go to negative rates, which means it'll cost you to have a dollar. Melody, would that be inflation in a different direction?
I don't know what it would be. It's just, like what you said, it's just bizarre, but people are willing. I mean, how many trillions of dollars, like we said the number the other day on the program, how many trillions of dollars around the world are in negative? It's like 17 trillion or something like that. That's in negative rates. I mean, think about it. They feel safer getting negative rates Are you kidding me?
Paying the bank to keep your money?
Yeah, that's safe. When the banks are the ones that create the problems or allow the problems to be created, along with governments and the financial markets?
Now
they're all
is
in
the
this game together.
They are, worldwide.
Yep.
Every one of them. Now's your time to call Melody and protect your savings. I wish I could do more with Melody. I really do, folks. I truly do. Melody knows I do what I can when I can, but I'm not by any means a wealthy man, but I put back long enough that I was able to pay off my home and get out of debt with what I'd done from 20-some years ago. Thank God for that. But protect your savings. Get out of the dollar and out of bank accounts. Get it out of paper and put it in tangible goods. Not all of it. You got to have some money in the bank. I realize that. But take at least half of it and put it in something that you can hold in your hand and know you got it. That's worth something, not just a piece of paper. But this next article says UK's economy crashed 9 point. Go ahead.
I just want to say something. And we're not financial planners. It's common sense.
Common sense.
Butch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. UK economy crashes 9.9% in 2020, biggest drop in 311 years. You hear that from since 1709, Melody? The UK economy crashed that much. The biggest drop since 1709.
Wow.
That is a huge, huge statement. And I wonder why. They forced businesses to shut down? Yeah, Brexit. Exactly. Well, that too. Of course. Yeah. Of course. And on the other hand, corn boom sends farmland value up most since 2012 in the Midwest. The corn sales in the Midwest have went through the roof, mainly because China has purchased, their record purchase from China, buying from the U.S., 11.3 million tons last year. One-third of that was from the U.S. In January alone, 2.1 million tons, largest single sale to the country in history.
Wow.
So property value of farms going up because China's buying corn. Go ahead.
There was something else that I heard out of the Biden administration that they're planning on keeping all of President Trump's tariffs on China. But they won't give them credit for it, will they?
No, they won't.
The one thing that they're not going to executive order off the books is the tariffs. So.
That's very true. I never thought about that. That's very true. Very true. But land values had rose 6% last year in states like Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So that, by the grace of God, maybe farmers will exist another year. I don't know. You and I both know they're struggling. They have been for a long time. So, and Mexican president hails Biden's border wall freeze. Now, Biden says he just made the decision to stop any new construction on the border walls. I mean, you stop it. And you remember, of course, Trump said he would see that we had a border wall, and he would say he would make Mexico pay for it. You remember that?
I do.
So. So I wonder what happened. I remember Vicente Fox, the ex-president of Mexico, said some words about that pretty clear. I'm not going to repeat them on the air, but he said, you know, we're not going to build that wall. So, I mean, I really wonder, did Trump really think he could pull that off, or was he just talking to hear his head roar? You know, I mean, how are you going to make another nation pay for something that you want? I mean, to build a wall between two nations.
I mean,
folks,
you can, and again, it's politics.
That's just the way it is. It is politics. And Biden is opening. Go ahead.
The sad thing is, this is what happens when you do things on executive orders. It just gets wiped off.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
See, that really takes all of the power out of the legislators. And it takes all the people, too, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, what good does vote somebody out of office if they don't have any authority anyway, as far as the legislature, I mean? What good does that do?
Yeah.
And Biden's going to allow 25,000 asylum seekers in the U.S. this month. He's opened the border up again, a lot of places. And, folks, I will give Trump credit. He did cut back a lot on the illegals coming across. And he caught a lot of flack over it, obviously. But Biden is reversing that. And these people coming in here expecting to be fed, housed and clothes, medical care, everything else. And guess who is paying for that? We are. So Biden is reopening the border at our expense. It's just the way it is. And some good news. New poll finds sharp decline in support for Senator Dianne Feinstein in California. Isn't that amazing?
It really
said ratings
is.
Had fallen sharply in her home state. A new poll showed, marking the first time in her nearly 30 years in the Senate career, that a plurality of Californians hold negative views of her job performance. It only took Californians 30 years to figure it out. My goodness, I think.
I'd like to see her constituents, yeah.
And we're down about the last article here, too. Miami pushes crypto with proposal to pay workers in Bitcoin. This is out of Bloomberg. Miami Mayor Francis Shiraz proposed a paying municipal workers and collecting taxes in Bitcoin, expanding campaign to promote cryptocurrencies. The mayor wants to allow the city of Miami's workers to choose to receive all or a portion of their pay in Bitcoin, according to a resolution passed by the city's government and commission. In addition, the mayor opposed allowing people to pay all, proposed the idea, allowing the people to pay all their part of their property taxes when city fees in crypto. So they can pay their tax in it, part of it, all of it, and get paid in part of all of that.
That ain't going to work.
And we're out of time.
We'll talk about that later, because that won't work, but I have a few.
No, it ain't going to work.
It's politics as usual. He entertained the Silicon Valley investors, and it's he probably got paid millions of dollars. We'll be back. Be safe. Have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's Day. Good night, and God bless.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a well